Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the faithfulness of the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. I'm glad he's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Hallelujah. I'm glad he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the word of God that gives you the strength when you need it the most. I kind of had a word dropped in my heart this week, and I talked to Sister Lisa on it, about it someone Tuesday when she called, and Bishop comes on one night on TBN, and he confirms it. So then we went to the spa the other night, and at Terry's, it was like a spa, I'm telling you. Y'all missed it. And Tam spoke, and she confirmed it. So if you'll draw from me this morning, I think I have something to share with you today. I want to talk a little bit today about divine provision. Hallelujah. He said, before you call, I will answer. If you've got a problem today, he's already got an answer for it. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? You know, he said before there was a tree of life, there a tree of death, there was a tree of life. Hallelujah. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So there's always been provision. God has always had provision in the earth. If you look back over your own life even, you'll probably see times when you thought, this just can't happen. And then all of a sudden, God comes through. And you say, he did it again. He did it again. Over and over in my 48 years, I guess, almost 48 years, isn't it, Sister Jenny? 47, 48 years that I've served the Lord, I have found him to be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. He's never let me down, never left me hanging. Always been there when I needed him. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. He's brought me through things that I didn't think I could handle. But when you come to a place where the peace of God begins to rule in your heart, there's no explanation for it. He said, peace I give to you, and peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, but as he gives the peace. I know when Pastor Jack was killed, I thought that's one of the hardest things. I stood there and watched it and couldn't do a thing about it. But we went into the funeral home, and we wanted to view the body to be sure it was presentable. And Eric and Hannah were standing at the casket. Of course, Dad was a Marine, so Eric, as his Marine buddy, he was standing there. And they stood there for a little while, and I was sitting on a chair close by. And all of a sudden, Eric clicked his heels together, saluted. Peace of God just fell in that room like a warm blanket. It was awesome. And I thought all through that whole process, there was just such a peace of God. I almost felt guilty for feeling such peace. But I knew what God was trying to show me. I knew that he was showing me his faithfulness. In the worst times of storms, in the worst times of trials, worst times of testing, you can count on him. You can count on him. Hallelujah. I just, there's probably hundreds of stories I could tell you, but I want to get into the Word this morning. Brother Jim, I'm going to have you read some for me because I can't get the projector to work. So I'm going to have you to read out of King James. I brought my Amplified, but that's not really what I want out of there this morning. But, you know, and when I think back over the Old Testament and you know, when I see follow through from Genesis to Revelation, you can see where he was the smitten rock in the wilderness. He was the cloud by day, the pillar fire by night. He was the manna that came from heaven. He was all these things. He was the candlestick in the tabernacle of Moses. He was, he was the ram caught in the thicket. He was everything from Genesis to Revelation. You can find Christ all the way through the scriptures. And David said, "Once I was young, but now I'm old. I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Hallelujah. Once I was young, now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God's faithful. Jim, if you will, turn to Psalms 77. This psalm is about a man called Asaph. It talks about what fierce combat that he had and the victory that he obtained. You know, for every battle that we go through, we have come out on the other side of it with a victory. There's, you know, our trials can either make us bitter or make us better. It depends on how you allow God to deal and how you allow God to work in your heart. A lot of times we get angry with God and we blame God. You know, why doesn't God do this and why doesn't God do that? And God knows I've asked him enough questions. If I ever get to stand before him in his throne, I've still got a million I want to ask him. But, and it's not wrong to ask God questions. People said, "Oh, you should never question God." But Isaiah chapter 1 says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow." He said, "Come, let us reason together. Let's just talk about it. Let's discuss it, you know." And I think God wants us to ask him questions. I had my sister that's next to Jenny. It was me, and then Shelby, and then Jenny, and then Daisy. And she was always one of these kids that asked all kinds of questions. And I'd hear my mom say, "Will you please stop asking so many questions? You make a good Philadelphia lawyer, you know. But how are you going to know anything if you don't ask questions?" And God doesn't object to you asking him questions. He wants you to. He says, "Come, let us reason together." But then this psalm, it talks about Asaph's time of trial and his victory through the whole thing. You know, some of you may be, and maybe all of us, one way or another, is going through something today. You know, maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's financial, maybe it's, you know, depression, maybe it's, you know, I don't know what your problem is today, but I know that God knows, and I know that he has the answer for it. So we just have to put our trust in the Lord and know that all things work together to good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And so with that, Jim, start with Psalm 77. Start with verse 1, if you don't mind. Huh? Yeah, well, read down a few verses, and then I'll go back. All right.
My soul refused to be
Thank you. If you'll notice in verse 1 and 2, he talks about the day of trouble, seek and inquire and desperately require of the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out in prayer without slacking up. I refuse to be comforted. He was talking here about prayer and supplication. Sometimes, and in his case right here, his prayer and supplication didn't stop the ache in his heart and the problem that he was having. He said his soul refused to be comforted. Yeah. His soul could not refuse. Have you ever come to a place where you couldn't get peace of mind? You know your soul deals with your mind. That's what your mind is your soul. But sometimes when you have problems, it's like you can't get peace of mind. You can't. Regardless of whether you believe, you have prayer, you have supplication, you do all that you know to do, and yet you can't seem to be comforted. But I read in Psalms 23 where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still water, and he restoreth my soul." You know, in our times of trouble, when we look to him, what we need to have restored is our mind, our thinking. Sometimes we even have to change the way we think. Before we can really have victory over a lot of things, God deals with your mind. This is the devil's playground. This is where you have your hardest battles, is in your mind. The devil does this. Devil doesn't do anything. That's just normal human behavior, is because our battle is in our mind. That's where we either condemn ourselves, we lift ourselves up, we come to an understanding of God, or we, come to be angry with God, or we come to find peace with God. But it's your mind that God wants to restore. and God wants to bring peace to. When you have done all that you know to do, you've quoted your scripture, you've pleaded the blood, you know, you've rebuked the adversary. You've done all you know to do. What else do you do? You just stand. You just stand. There, you know, when you don't know which direction to go in, you just stand in what you already know. You just stand in where you are until God comes along and changes that. You know, a lot of times we want to go off on our own and try to fix it and try to figure God out. Well, I learned a long time ago that whenever I think I've got him figured out, he changes the pattern on me. Yep. He changes the plan. And I don't really know how to figure him out. In verse 4, he said, read that verse 4 again, Jim. So sometimes, he said in verse 3, just above that, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. Think about that for a minute. I have complained until my spirit is overwhelmed or overpowered. Come on. How many times instead of going to the Lord with prayer and supplication, do we just complain? You know, we just whine, and we just blame God for not being there when we need him. You know, it's like the disciples that was in the hinder part of, and when Jesus was in the hinder part of the sleep, asleep in the ship, and the disciples ran down, this major storm broke loose, and Master, don't you care that we perish? How many times have we said, God, where are you? God, don't you hear me? God, don't you care about me? I don't know about you, but I've said those words. I've said those things. I've asked God many times, you know, don't you care that we perish? You know, why are you not answering this prayer the way I want you to? But he answers it the way he wants to. And you know what? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes we just got to take no for an answer. What part of no don't we understand? Sometimes we just have to just sit back and say, okay, God, if that's the answer, that's what I'll walk in. In verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, if you remember, he begins to question God. And then he gets to the end of verse 9, and he says, Selah. The word Selah means stop and think. Stop and think. Stop and think. How many times do we stop and think when we are in situations and think, you know, okay, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? In verse 10, it talks about his infirmity. An infirmity is a weakness of our human flesh. How many of you in here would be honest enough to say without raising your hand, sometimes my flesh is weak. My spirit's willing, but sometimes my flesh is weak. Sister Lisa ministered the other week on failure is not final. Sometimes we have weaknesses and sometimes we have failures, but that's not final. And that's not an option. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said in verse 11, I will remember. You know, one thing that gets us out of the mully grubs and gets us out of our pity party is when we start remembering. Start remembering things in the past that God's delivered us from. I venture to say there's people, every one of you in here has a story that you could tell me this morning of a past victory that sometimes you've had to go back to and say, okay, God, I remember when I remember when you gave me that peace. I remember when you supplied my need. I remember, you know, I remember the years of my life when you've been faithful to me. I remember when I thought I still owed $500 on my house, and I went to the mailbox, and my deed was in the mailbox, and it had been paid. I remember when Jack was out of work for 3 years, and God supplied our need. We didn't have a DHHR at that time, so we were on our own. That's what we worked and canned, and, you know, go out in the backyard here and get us a deer if we got hungry for meat. I remember the times when God supplied all of my need. Hallelujah. A lot of times we forget what God does, and we forget to give him praise for what he does. We take for granted the goodness of God. We take for granted that, you know, God owes us something. But God doesn't owe us anything, church. We are indebted to him. Hallelujah. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He doesn't owe us anything. You know, when David began to remember the lion and the bear, it just gave him strength to fight the giant. It gave him the courage to say, well, if I could whip the lion and if I could take down the bear, I can surely take down this uncircumcised Philistine. Hallelujah. And I think sometimes we have to remember what strengths we do have. We think sometimes we're weak. We're not weak. We're strong. He said, when I'm weak, then he's strong in me. And it's not by my might or my power, but it's by his spirit anyway. It's nothing that I can do. It's just learning to trust and lean on him and not on my own understanding. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and I will direct your path. But David's victory over the lion and the bear gave him courage to have victory over the giant. You know, we all have giants in our life. They're just to have different faces on them. We all have a different kind of giant, maybe, you know, to face. Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 20 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. The key to that scripture starts out by saying, be filled with the Spirit. If you stay full of the Holy Ghost, there's not anything you cannot overcome this morning, church. Not anything you can't overcome. Speak to yourself. One of those verses that Jim read said, he began to talk. You know, the scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, how can you hear unless there's a voice speaking it? Even if it's your own voice. Even if it's your own voice speaking the word of God to yourself. If it's your own voice that's singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. We have to remind ourselves that our God is faithful and mighty. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh thee, because he's given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. God is faithful to cover you. You can trust what's up under his wing this morning. Hallelujah. Under his wing in that mercy seat, that's the holy place. That's the holy of holies. That's the place that you can run into. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous run into it. Hallelujah. But we have to begin to remember the days of our victories, the days of past victories, the days of times when God did come through for us and we saw his spirit move and operate. Hallelujah. Verse 12 through 15, he starts talking about magnifying the Lord. Do you know that you can make your problem bigger than God? Yeah, you can. You can talk about it so much until it overwhelms you, until you think it's bigger than God. God just really can't handle this. But that's not true. The scripture said when he started to magnify the Lord. You know, the Lord dropped something in my heart this week. And at first I thought, this is really good. And then I thought, no, this is better than good. This is really awesome. He said to me, the God in your life is only as big as the God in your mouth. Now, I thought that was good at first, but then when it hit me, I thought, that's awesome. Is the God in my life bigger than the God in my mouth, or is the God in my mouth smaller? Do I magnify the Lord? Do I magnify him with my actions? Do I magnify him in the word? Do I give him glory? Do I give him praise in everything that I do? Do I make him a great big God? You know, a lot of people make the devil a great big devil. I don't even mess with him. He was done for at the cross. I have no dealings with the devil. I don't give him any place, any time, any amount of conversation. The devil doesn't do anything to me that I do not allow to happen. Come on. We blame everything on the devil. He has no power over you, only what you give him. He's been defeated, church. That means he don't have any power. He can't do anything to you. He only has victory over what you give him. You know, it's like being... It's like being around somebody that intimidates you. The more you allow them to intimidate you, the more fearful you are of them and the less you want to be around them. But it's you that's allowing that intimidation. See, we don't realize how much power and strength that we have. We don't realize what God has invested in us. Hallelujah. Exactly. All unclean spirits. You have to speak up, Brother John. I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear out the other one. Exactly. No more. I'm not afraid of the devil. Some people say, oh, I wouldn't say that. I'm going to testify, and as soon as I go out here, the devil's going to attack me. Baloney. Baloney. Yeah, the devil got saved, didn't he? Praise God. I remember Sister Winnie saying, if God don't ever do anything more for me than saving John, she said, he's done everything. Praise God. Verse 16 through 19, he talked about the floods and the storms. The Bible says when the enemy comes in And I've heard this quoted like this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. But that's not the way it's written. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. Like a flood. Hallelujah. He will raise up a standard against him. Bless the Lord. He's our provision this morning. Seems like when troubles come, it's a dark place to be in. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you this morning, God's not afraid of your darkness. He's not afraid of your darkness this morning. Jesus was born in the dark. Was crucified in the dark. Come on. Mary went to the tomb before daylight. Everything that held us back, when she got to that tomb, that stone was rolled away. And I thought about that this week, and I thought, you know what? The law was the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. So everything that was against us was rolled away when she went back to that tomb that morning to see Jesus. If you can understand, if you can receive it, everything that was written and held against you, everything that disqualified you, everything that made you feel unworthy, everything that made you think that you couldn't do this, that's all been taken away. That stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. You know, my excuse before I got saved was always, I don't think I can live it, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. And my biggest one was, I can't be a Christian and live with a drunk. That was my biggest excuse. But you see, I didn't understand how big God was at that time. And I didn't know that when God was working on me, he was also working on my drunk. He was a big God. It seemed like after I got saved, he even got worse. And, you know, the weekend that I gave my heart to the Lord, he'd been out drinking and fighting and running from the law. And he called me on the phone and he said, as soon as I find my car keys, I'll be home. Well, he hadn't been home all weekend, so I said, I really don't care if you don't ever come home. And I just hung up on him. So I went on to church, kicking and screaming, really, because Jenny just pushed me to go. I wasn't used to go to church because I couldn't, you know, and live like that. So, but that Sunday morning, God had a plan for my life. And when I went to that church that Sunday morning, I can't even tell you what the preacher preached. I really, really cannot. My heart was so heavy. And I had just really come to the end of my rope. I just was at the place where I said, God, if this is all there is to my life, 26 years old with 6 kids and living with a drunk, you can stop the world and let me off. I'm done. You know, get me out of here. I don't want any more of this kind of life. I was raised in that kind of life. I mean, all my whole life, that's all I knew was the drinking and the fighting and the partying and the, that was just all there was in my life. I swore I'd never marry a man to drink, but he told me he'd quit. I had sucker written right across here, because I believed him. But I didn't know the power of God at that time. But that Sunday morning when the preacher gave the altar call, I was just standing there crying. I just reached over and took Jenny's hand, and she knew what was going on. She'd already been there. We went to the altar. I gave my heart to the Lord. I really didn't even know how to pray. But I just began to pour my heart out to him. So when church was over and went out, Jack was waiting on me to take me home. And I got in the car and he looked at me. He said, aren't you going to say anything? Because usually when he came home, I was fighting mad. And he tells everybody I beat him. but only when it was necessary. I really never beat him, but I felt like sometimes, you know. Somebody said, did you ever think about divorce? And I said, no. Murder, yeah, but never divorce. But anyway, he said, aren't you going to say anything? And I said, Jack, I got saved this morning. And I said, I'm not going to fight with you anymore. I said, I told the Lord he could either move or remove you, and I don't care which one he does. He said, I couldn't have hit him harder if I'd have drawn my fist up and hit him. He never said another word till we got home. When we came in the door, I threw my cigarettes in the trash. I started taking my kids and going to church. I never bugged him. I never told him, you need to go to church. You know, you need to get saved. You need to get right with God. I was waiting on God to either move or remove. And it just seemed like he got worse after that. But you know what? 4 months later, his mom sang him a little song. Said, sorry, I never knew you. You can't be our daddy anymore. And he said, in my own way, I love my kids and my family. But when you've never been shown love by a father, you don't know how to really love. You don't really know how to show that love. But he said, when I went to bed, he said, I just looked up to God and I said, Lord, if you save me, I'll serve you. And those 7 words changed our whole world. Those 7 words changed our whole life, our whole history. Hallelujah. Everybody that said we wouldn't amount to nothing, everybody that said we just, that tribe in the bus, you know, everybody that made fun of us, everybody that said, you know, never last, give them 6 months, they'll be back doing what they always did. But I had a bigger God than that. I had a bigger God than that. I had a God that was faithful and a God that could keep me. Hallelujah. And a God that could keep him. He didn't tell me for a couple days that he got saved. And so I was making dinner on Wednesday evening, getting the kids ready to go to church. He comes downstairs and he's all showered and dressed. And I thought, as soon as I leave, he's going out. I said, where do you think you're going? I'm going to church. I said, church? He said, yeah. I said, well, you're not saved, are you? He said, yes, I am. It was that simple. We serve a big God. Big God. When he poured his beer down the drain, I knew how big God was. We serve a faithful God, a God of provision. Church, I'm telling you, I could sit here for hours and tell you of the things that God has done that only God could have done. I never dreamed in raising my kids. Of course, there was nobody on the hill here then but just us. You know, we had bought the farm here. And we would sit on the front porch and just wish somebody would come and see us. But you know what? That meant if I come see you, then that means you can come and see me. And not too many people wanted to see you coming with 6 or 7 kids. No matter how much you threatened them that if you move, you're going to get a thrashing when you get home. So years we sat there. People would say, you know, well, we're going on vacation. We're going to Florida. We never knew what vacation was. And I'd think, man, they must have plenty of money if they can do that kind of stuff. Never dreaming. Never dreaming that one day we'd be doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Going to Disney World, Jim. Never dreaming that one day I could sit on this hill and see people coming from all over the world. See people coming to hear the gospel in this little town of Berkeley Springs. Yes. I thought one day I have preached in Canada, Mexico, and in 19 states in the United States. And I have preached on TV and around the world. And I've never left the hill, hardly. I did have to go to Canada to preach there and Mexico to preach there. But you know what? That's how big my God is. That's how faithful my God is. Hallelujah. And then to go to Georgia this summer and receive a Lifetime Achievement Award for our work in the ministry. Never, ever, ever dreamed anything like that could happen. This man has, Bishop Huskins is a leadership over 4.2 million people. 6,000 different charismatic churches. And he picked me and Jack for the Lifetime Achievement Award. It was almost more than I could handle. It was overwhelming. But that's how big my God is. Hallelujah. You know, when it looked like all hell would break loose when the Syrian army was coming after Elisha looked at the Lord and he said, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see that those that surround us, Jim, are much more than those that are against us." Hallelujah. Those that are for us are much more than those that are against us. We just need to have our spiritual eyes open to see how big our God is. Hallelujah. I think about Gideon. When the Philistines was coming, all he had was a lamp and a pitcher and a candle. Whipped the whole Philistine army. I'm telling you, church, it's not so much about what you got in your hand, but what you got in your mind. What you think you can do. What you know that you can do. What you believe that you can do. Hallelujah. And then speak it out of your mouth. Hallelujah. The God in your life has to be bigger than the God that's in your mouth. And the God in your mouth has to be bigger than the God, than the problems that you have in your life. How do we speak? How do we talk? How do we magnify God? How do we lift God up? How do we let the creation know how mighty our God is? Hallelujah. One thing I know about him, he's always making night deposits. All the time. Even in our darkest time, he's making deposits. He's making night deposits. God does a lot of things in our darkest hour, in our darkest places. Sometimes that's where the most victory comes from. Have you ever made a night deposit and run to the bank so you wouldn't get an overdraft? Anybody ever done that besides me? Hurry up and put a night deposit in so you don't get an overdraft. Can I tell you that God, you can't overdraw in God's bank account? You can't overdraw it. You never will get a overdraft. You won't ever get a ticket that says, you took out more money than what you got. You took out more blessing than what you got laid up. You can't overdraw with God. Hallelujah. I'm glad you can't overdraw his account. I'm just glad the victory's already been won, church. Hallelujah. The victory's already been won. One thing for sure, you can't fail if you don't quit. You hear that? You can't fail if you don't quit. You just got to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. We can either curse the darkness or we can turn on the light. What do you choose? Power of life and death is in your tongue. It's in your mouth. What are you speaking? How are you speaking to yourself? Darkness is the opposite of light. It's not equal with light. It's the opposite of light. Because if you turn a light on, darkness disappears. You just got to let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. In the dark places is where you need to shine the most. You know what? You don't have to preach to people every place you go. All you got to do is just be real and be who you are. Let your light shine. Let people see the glory of God in your life. Let people see, you know, they're different from what I am. They don't do the things I do. They don't go the places I go. What's different about them that's about not about me? Midnight is about the darkest time of night. After it gets midnight, then it starts going back into daytime. And I was thinking about that with Paul and Silas. They began at midnight in their darkest time, in their darkest hour, to begin to sing and to praise God. And the jail doors were open. And the jailer got saved. And everybody in the jail. Hallelujah. But you know what they did? They just began to sing and to praise. Just began to sing and to praise. I believe it was Jehoshaphat. Don't be upset with me if I'm wrong. But I think it was Jehoshaphat that said, you know, and when you begin to sing and to praise, God will set ambushment against your enemy. In your dark time, whenever you don't know what's going on, when you're singing and praising, the angels of heaven are working on your behalf. The angels around you are working on your behalf. They're making night deposits in your mailbox and in your bank account, in your life, in your body. He's making night deposits. One thing we have to learn is we don't have to wait till daybreak before we begin to shout. You don't have to wait till daybreak. In your darkest time is the time to start to shout, start to praise God. The scripture says, weeping endureth for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. He said, I make all things new. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new covenant. It's a new, his mercies are new every morning. It's a new priesthood. Everything about him is new. Everything about us is new. We have a new covenant. We don't live under an old covenant mentality anymore. We live in a new covenant. A covenant where God said, I'll plant my word in your heart. I'll come and I'll take up my abode. My Father and I'll take up our abode in you. Hallelujah. We'll come and live inside of you. The one thing we need to do is look for God in the midst of the storm. A storm, like I said, the storm can either destroy you or can refresh you. It can correct you or perfect you, or it can make you bitter or make you better. Depends on how you let it operate in your life. Psalms 148:8 said, stormy winds fulfill his word. Isaiah 43, and Jim sings this song all the time. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I'm the Lord thy God, and I'll be there. He says, fear not. Fear not. He will take your hand, and he will walk with you through the storm. Hallelujah. Jim back there was in the Navy for a long time. Jim, did you ever get in a storm? He didn't make it this morning. I thought he was back behind you. I couldn't tell. But I'm sure being in the Navy, he's been in a lot of storms. Been in a lot of storms. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28:17 says, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. Think about that for a minute. The hail shall remove the refuge of lies. no more will you have to believe a lie. Nobody will ever be able to convince you of the lies anymore. Hallelujah. And there will be no more hiding places. Storms clean out the streams, and whatever stops the flow of water or spirit in your life. Did you ever think about that? Little things like pride can stop the flow of God in your life. You have to think for yourself this morning. What is it in my life that stops the flow of God? What is it that I'm doing or that I'm not doing that stops the flow of God in my life? Hallelujah. Whatever your storm is, remember the last one that he brought you through. You don't have to remember all of them. Just remember the last one that he brought you through. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God that don't change. He's a God that's faithful. Do you know that when God touches someone around you, it affects everybody around you? When he touches you, it affects everybody around you. You know how I know that? He said of the Samaritan woman. She came to get a drink from the well. She met a man, and she couldn't contain it. She went back into the city, and the whole city got touched. The whole city got saved. Because what affected her affected everybody around her. And don't you know that whatever affects you, it affects everybody around you? You know, when Jack used to drink, he would say, "Well, I don't know why you get so upset. I'm not hurting anybody but myself." That was a big lie. Because everything that we do affects everybody around us. Whether we want it to or not, folks, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. If you get full of the Holy Ghost and get dancing or shouting or praising God, surely there's going to be somebody around you that's going to bounce off of you on to. Hallelujah. Lazarus was the only name that Jesus called when he called him forth out of the tomb. But you know what? We've all been affected with resurrection life now. Every one of us. Not just Lazarus. Remember this morning, he's only as big in your life as he is in your mouth. Once you've decided to go forward, don't look back, because you will not find your destiny in your rearview mirror. You will not find your destiny in the rearview mirror. You got to keep looking straight ahead. Set your face as a flint. Set your eyes on the prize. Now, I don't know about you today, but mine is the gold. I'm going for the gold. I'm going for everything. I'm not going to settle for just a little bit of God. I want everything God's got for me. And I don't think he's finished with me yet. I don't think he's finished with me yet. I'm not able to preach like I used to. My memory's not as good as it used to be either, but... when I could walk these aisles and preach, I did. I still think that I have a word, and I think that God, I don't think that God's finished with me yet. I think we just need to learn how to receive from the hand of the Lord and receive the blessing that God has for us. You know, I think it's hard for us in the natural to receive a blessing. Sometimes people will say, "Well, here, I want to give you this." You say, "Oh, well, no, thanks. I appreciate it, but, you know, I really don't want you to do that." You're really stealing their blessing. You're really stealing their blessing. We just need to learn how to receive, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. God says all these things are ours. Healing is ours. Healing is a children's bread. All these things belong to us. But how do we reach out and say, "Okay, God, I receive that. I receive that." And I think that's one of our big problems in the church today. somebody said, I read it on Facebook this week, and somebody said that, I don't know, maybe Lisa put this on Facebook. I don't remember now who had it on, but I thought it was powerful. But they said, everybody lies every day. And if you and through your life, you lie 87,600 times through your lifetime if you lie every day. And the biggest lie that people tell is this. You say, how are you today? They say, I'm fine. How many times have you said, I'm fine, when you really just wanted to say, I'm a mess. I need Jesus today. I need help today. I need strength today. I need healing today. But we always say, I'm fine. But I think God's plan for us is to get to that place where we can say, I'm fine, and I mean I'm fine. Hallelujah. Regardless of what the situation is or the circumstances, you know, I thought about the scripture where the woman that Elisha gave his son to, and he was in the field working with his father, and he died. And she told her servant, she said, saddle me an ass. They saddled her an ass. She jumped on that animal, headed straight for Elisha. She said, man of God, I told you not to lie to me. She didn't ask for no son. That was his idea. She said, man of God, I told you, don't lie to me. She said, when the servant said, how are you? She said, all's well. She had made up her mind all was going to be well before she left that place. And I think when we get that determination that said, all's well. All is well. Man of God, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can trust what's up under his wing. Hallelujah. You can trust him this morning. He is your provider. He is your provision today. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Anybody have anything you want to say? Any comment? Amen.
It's nice to go with other people.
Amen.
And so it's important as a church, I would react when we're going through a storm, because it can make a difference on who wants to jump ship or who wants to stay. God is faithful in the midst of our heartaches and our troubles. And the Word of God says all things work together for good.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But what the Lord said to me was a long time ago, he said, you need to learn to accept those blessings. And then what that does for you is then that gets you to where you can be
a
the blessing.
Yeah.
And start to give out the blessings.
Yes.
So you got to learn to receive. Because I used to be one of those guys who was all known. No, I'm better off than you are. You know? And I wouldn't say that, but that's your mindset. I don't need that. But if you learn to start to receive, that'll teach you how to
give.
Yeah.
Amen.
So you gotta laugh at me.
Well, it's like the woman at the well, Jim. She came to get a drink from the well, but what Jesus wanted to do was make her a well.
Amen.
When she went back to the city, she gave everybody a drink.
Amen. Everybody
a drink. So God doesn't want you to just be come to the well. He wants you to be a well. He wants you to be a dispenser of the good things of God, the blessings of God, the goodness of God. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Hallelujah.
In other words, he should say, be spiritual in your thinking, you know, and all. Until you can grow up and have that knowledge within you, you know, to make right choices, you know, and come into the very presence of him, you know, and knowing that there will never be time down. You know, I want to go off about it. Just 2 years.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yep. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Musicians.